The main issue here for these guys is they're operating out of it self-righteously. You know, the way that they're expressing themselves to Job is because, you know, it's like, well, you know, I'm not suffering, so I'm okay. You're suffering. You have sin. And so even though they're his friends and they're kind of jokingly called Job's comforters, they actually don't comfort him at all. But it's interesting to note that that they mouth the usual explanations of suffering, but they're so pompous, they're so self-righteous in this that it doesn't do any good. And the way they look at it is kind of the way we could look at it as well, is that they since, you know, Job lived such an obviously religious life. He obviously on the outward appearance really loved God. He was there for him. I mean, all these different things. And so they surmise, and basically all these chapters is their way of saying, Job, you must have deep secret sin in your life. And so please, by all means, repent. You know, tell us what your sins are. Repent of these sins, and then God will restore you. God will rescue you. And that God rewards the good. And he punishes the wicked. That's the idea. I mean, we're gonna go through this ad nauseum, because that's basically the central argument that runs all the way through. And then they use their own kind of beautiful poetry, their prose, to come up with this idea. And so, if you look at, we'll just look at chapter 8 a little bit. Verse 4: If your sins sin against him, that he delivered them into the power of their transgression. If you would seek God and implore the compassion of the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would rouse himself for you and restore your righteous estate. Though your beginning was insignificant, yet your end will increase greatly. You know, he's saying, look, Job, okay, you know, the jig is up. Okay, you have sin. You must have sin in your life. And so, dude, repent, you know, turn back to God, and God will restore you, and God will take care of you. Obviously, this is not happening in your life. So, number one, you haven't really repented. And number two, you still have this sin in your life. And so you need to do something about this. And so Bildad, and he's, remember, Eliphaz was kind of more like, not necessarily beating around the bush, but he was a little bit more gentle and gracious in this. Bildad just goes all in, and he's much harsher than that, and he talks about even the righteous on earth, the wicked, even the wicked on earth, they also suffer. There's not a purity to what they're doing, and like verse 11, it says, can the papyrus grow up without marsh? And it's talking about this particular Egyptian reed papyrus that would grow next to the Nile. And so even, it's talking about these trees there. And even that, they grow in the marsh. In other words, like, even though the wicked may receive some kind of blessing, or there may be some prosperity, there's always a dark side to them as well. There's always something that happens. You know, can the rushes grow without water? While it is still green and not cut down, yet it withers before any plant. And so it's just relaying. This is what happens to the wicked. This is their folly in this. Verse 13, so are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the godless will perish, whose confidence is fragile, and his trust a spider's web. In other words, it's not a house. You know, if you ever seen a spider's web, very easy to destroy. But that's what the wicked, even though they may look prosperous, there's a lot of hardship, and there's a lot of secret pain going on. And so he contrasts that with this idea that, you know, for Job, you know, you may seem outwardly righteous, but there must be secret, you know, junk going inside of you, or else, you know, why would you be going through this folly? The rest of this, He thrives before the sun, and his shoots spread out over his garden. His roots wrap around a rock pile, and he grasps a house of stones. If he is removed from his place, then it will deny him, saying, I never saw you. And so he's talking about weeds that grow out. This is kind of this whole metaphor. It's talking about these weeds, and, you know, weeds come up, and then, you know, they get built on. There's other weeds around. They kind of grow. But there's this disowning that ends up happening. Verse 18, if he is removed from his place, then it will deny him, saying, I never saw you. That's kind of what happens with the wicked. Whenever the good fortune, you know, everyone sprouts up to take its place, and you know, there's no comfort, there's no nothing. That's ultimately what happens to the wicked. And so he's you know, basically telling Job, you know, you're wicked. You need to, or you have wicked, deep wickedness deep inside your heart. You need to get your act together. You need to repent. And if you repent, right, then God will come. Verse 20, he says, Lo, God will not reject a man of integrity, nor will he support the evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting, and those who hate you will be clothed with shame. The tent of the wicked will be no more. So, Job, this is all you have to do. You have to repent of your wrongdoing. You have to bring about what is causing all this calamity in your life, which is deep secret sin that you have. And again, it goes to the idea of this age, that because you're suffering, you know, purely because of your sin, purely because you did something wrong. And we'll, like I said, we'll continue to go through this theme over and over and over again. But we recognize a different aspect that suffering does. And it's suffering refines us. You know, suffering makes us better in this way. Suffering has the ability to really weed out all the different competitions that are in our heart. And when we come to the base of these things, and if we could turn to God in the midst of it, it could be really an amazing adventure. You know, as I look back through my life and I think about it, and maybe for Christians, you know, suffering, maybe we'll call it just desert experiences or something like that. You know, and then I've gone through my fair share. And looking back, you know, honestly, I would never give those up. I mean, I would go through it again. I mean, I'd hope to learn some lessons, you know, through that. But for me, in the place where I was at, in my own stubbornness in my heart, or even in my blindness of my heart and my motivations, I needed to go through that desert experience. I needed to go through that suffering to really bring about what was really inside of my heart. Because, you know, we're very easily deceived. We very easily lift ourselves up in that way. And Job is in this incredible refining process. I mean, it's extreme, you know, to the point where he just asked God to kill him. But he's going through this process, and it makes him a better man. It makes him more righteous and, you know, more usable by God and all these things. And like I shared yesterday, you know, he enjoys 140 years more in this state after he goes through this time. And so, you know, it would be wise of us to take a look at this suffering and see, you know, God's handprints all over it in a way, and so that we can learn, and it could really reveal what's really in our hearts in this way. So let's close our eyes today. Let's think of the words of Bildad. And have a more, I guess, have more revelation than Bildad did. But yes, God does reward the good. But God also refines his servants. There was a phrase that my friend would say to me when early on. And he would say, those that he royally elects, he ruthlessly perfects, and he relentlessly pursues. By those he royally elects, he ruthlessly perfects, and he relentlessly pursues. Tozer once said, before God could use anyone greatly, he must wound him deeply. I know we don't like to hear those kinds of things, but it's true. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe you're in a season right now of suffering or a season of discipline. It's for your good. God's doing something beyond what we can imagine. And we just surrender and give ourselves to that. And as we move into a time of worship, I just really want to encourage you today to really really draw near to God and begin to see suffering in a kind of a different way. The word's going to come up soon. Technical difficulty here.
Filled with His glory, holy is the Lord. together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord.
Pastor Andrew, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just spend a little time, and let's just meditate for a moment, and let's just really ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, and for us to really have a right relationship with suffering. Obviously, I mean, no one wants to go through suffering, but it will happen. There will be some level that we'd have a right relationship with it, and we understand and trust God more through it. So let's pray. Let's just go before the Lord. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that is sick, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. For our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our mission focus, and today let's pray for China. Let's just continue to ask the Holy Spirit to breathe all over this nation. Let's continue to lift up our churches there. Let's pray for SP Beijing, be with Pastor Hyunsu and his team as they're really entering a new chapter of ministry. Let's pray for SP Shanghai as well, for Pastor Ricky and the family. Let's lift up the Chungs. Let's pray for churches all over that the gospel will be preached powerfully, especially in the midst of persecution. Let's lift up. Thank you. let's lift up our board. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and just empower our members. I'm just full of wisdom, full of grace, full of truth. Let's just lift up. Lift up our fellowship ministries. Pray for our young adults. Their SPLI in July 11. Pray for men's ministry, Monday morning prayer, Pure Desire. Pray for women's ministry, Wednesday lunchtime prayer. I think the young adults, I think this is meant to be a single life workshop, not SPLI. Let's just pray for God's hand upon all the different classes, all the prayer meetings, all the different groups that are getting together, and God really knit them together. Pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building resources that God will continue to provide. Let's continue to lift up a benefactor. Let's pray for a vision fund. The Holy Spirit would continue to cause people to give and that it would continue to grow. Let's lift up. Let's continue to lift up our city, especially in the midst of this third wave of coronavirus. Let's pray that the disease and the virus will get under control, and that people that are sick right now, there's quite a few of elderly that are in critical condition. Let's just pray for God's healing. Let's just cover our city, that people would be very mindful during this time and would be safe, and that we would overcome this disease again. Let's pray. Let's pray for gatherings happening tonight. Let's pray for SPLI, Old Testament Survey, that Pastor Andrew is teaching. Let's pray that people would really draw near and really grow during this time. We also have a missions council dinner tonight. And so let's just ask God's hand to be with us. Let's pray. Pray together. Lord, as we're going through the book of Job, God, and we're wrestling, God, with suffering or the problem of pain, Lord, I pray that we would walk in a right relationship with suffering, God, that, Lord, that we would really be students, Lord, and we would learn from it, God. Obviously, we want to learn from other people's suffering, But sometimes we can only learn from our own. And so would you help us? Would you speak to us, God? And would you lead us, Lord? Oh, we thank you. Lord, watch over us the rest of our day today. Keep Hong Kong safe, God. We ask, Lord, that you would eradicate COVID-19, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time as you go into it. And have a wonderful day. And we'll see you tomorrow again.